it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Perspectives, everybody. This is Ashley Burgess, and tonight we have a special guest in the studio at the Studio Roundtable. And, you know, we like to talk about things that are pertinent, and we like to talk about things that are timely, but I think anything especially to do with your life path and choosing the right career and what you want to do in life, especially when you're helping other people, is quintessential. Joining us this evening is Nathan Pilcher. Nathan is a member of the Dallas Fire Department since 1995. He's also a rescue specialist in the Texas Task Force 2. Try to say that fast three times. I like to see that. And he's having a career in the fire service, has exposed Nathan to numerous burn survivors as well, and both his brothers in the fire service and civilians. So we'll be talking about some other information, too, about him taking this career a step further. I'm glad to have you on, Nathan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. You know, I think a lot of people have always dreamed about being a firefighter.
Yeah, I didn't dream about it until I became about 17 and hanging around some firemen. They took me to the firehouse, and I made my dream come true.
So 17 was your age?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. So do you love being a fireman?
Absolutely. Not many. You can't find many firemen that don't like what they're doing.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't think you would be able to either. It seems like a lot of people like to do that, and they kind of they do it for the rest of their life. So where was it? Where is it? What fire station do you work at right now?
Right now I'm at Station 19. It's over in East Dallas off Samuel and East Grand.
Oh, wow. I bet you see some action.
It's a pretty good place. We get to stay pretty busy.
Y'all have actually gotten to see some action just as recently as Friday.
Yes, we have. I guess I met you and talked about doing the show, and then the next day we had the big Texas fire at the State Fair of Texas.
You know, I'm actually waiting to probably get an interview with the person that finds Jimmy Hoffa's body, and I'll probably have that secured the day of as well. So I think I'm interested. I might be the first person on that, just, you know, a day ahead. You know, that they always say, the early bird gets the worm. So I want to see if you've actually heard this audio or if this is common to you at all.
777 is out at Big Tex. Got a rather tall cowboy. All his clothes burned off.
Well, you know, we're told to paint the scene and let the people come in.
777 out. Rather tall cowboy with all his clothes burned off at 10:31.
Yeah.
66 is out. Web Hunter first. We got Big Tex on fire.
Engine 6 out, Big Tech's on fire.
On fire!
Howdy, folks, it's hot.
Yeah, I heard all that. I was busy driving at that point.
So you were driving the fire truck right now while this is going on?
Well, I was driving Battalion 3. I was driving, actually, that day I was driving the battalion chief and helping him out.
That's neat. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we got there pretty quick, and Big Tech's was pretty much engulfed at that point.
Wow, that was amazing. I heard some crazy stuff. I had just gotten out of some morning appointments, and I was going to get my car washed, and I was sitting in the car wash, and this gentleman was very sweet, and he's like, I think there must have been a terroristic attack on Big Tex. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, it started in their head. I was like, they would have had to shoot a bow and arrow, well, you know, engulfed in flames to do that.
Yeah, no, I think I'm not in the investigation team, but it sounded like it's something to do with electrical, and it was a sad day in Texas.
They're going to rebuild him, though, right?
Absolutely, surely will.
Are those the things, I mean, you know, I'd have to say that probably being a fireman would be, I guess what they say, like a high, you know, when you're getting in the truck and you're flying down the road and you're going to wherever. I mean, are there certain things that are kind of more like that than others?
Absolutely. You know, if we get a certain incident where you just go supposed to check on somebody, it's not very exciting. But if we know that something's burning or, you know, we got a real rescue going on, your adrenaline gets flowing a little bit, and you know, step it up a notch.
So how was the adrenaline on Friday morning around 10 o'clock?
No, it's just that's pretty much a trash fire, in a long story short.
Poor Tex.
Best thing is nobody got hurt, you know.
Yeah, so nobody got hurt, though.
No injuries whatsoever.
I feel bad for the children, though, that were watching it when they see Big Tex burning down. Oh, Mom, Dad, Big Tex, oh, my gosh. You know, I don't know how they're ever going to feel about the fair again. They might have a problem with it. But, you know, when you think about careers in this case and your passion for your career, which you obviously have a passion, you know, people say, okay, you do this to help people and what have you, but what do you get out of it?
Well, you get the satisfaction of helping people. Absolutely. You know, no day's the same, so every day we go to work, something's always different. You know, you don't have the stagnant of just doing the same thing day in and day out. So it's pretty exciting at times, and then we do have our down times, but we use that for cooking, training, sleeping, whatever we need to do, and just get through the day.
So tell me a little bit about the first fire you ever, the experience you had in your first fire.
No, I don't think many firemen can tell you about their first fire, because that's probably the most excited you will ever be in the fire service. You know, you've been waiting, training, you're waiting for that day. And when it finally happens, you're trained up to do the job, and you're usually surrounded by some veteran firemen that know what's going on, and they pretty much put you where you need to be, and you just go through the motions. And when it's over, you probably can't remember anything that just happened.
Wow.
So
it's just like a drilling, running. You're like, oh, my gosh, I'm finally doing what I've been trained to do this whole time.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
Absolutely. The training takes over, and the job gets done.
My issue, I think, if I was going to be a firefighter, which I think I could be an honorary one, but I think I'd have to overcome some fears. And I think my fears would probably be the fear of heights to some degree, and the fear of obviously burning flames, burning out of a building. I mean, you know, that's never something. So what are some of the fears that human, obviously rational human fears that you've had to overcome or put aside to do this job effectively?
Well, I think you're right. I think most people do have a situational fear of their own safety, about being hurt or getting hurt. I probably had the internal fear of failure, that me doing something wrong or not right is going to get my teammates or civilians hurt or killed. So probably just an internal fear of not being able to take care of business.
Wow. Okay. So opposite from some people being, oh my gosh, I can't stand on this high ladder. Oh my gosh, yeah, this is flames coming out. It's more like, I got to do my job because I don't want anybody to get hurt, as well as the fact that if I do something wrong, this isn't going to work out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a team. Excuse me. It's a team effort. Everybody does their job. That's usually how we go home safe.
Have you ever seen other firemen that you work with that have to overcome fears different from yours, or is that normally pretty much the standard go of it?
You know, everyone has their shortcomings. I could probably sit here and talk about a few things, but you really focus on what drives you and what take care of your own business, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, firemen usually will find their weaknesses and maximize them and work on them so they become their strengths. You know, that's how we get better.
That's how anybody gets better in life.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a really intelligent observation. And I think that a lot of people, if they don't know that already, then they should. But yeah, it's like you take what you don't feel you're good at and you actually make that into a strength. And I think a lot of times people get off put with something that they're not perfect at. And it's like, if you just work, like, you know, what I was saying earlier, blood, sweat, and tears, sometimes that's what it takes to make something perfect. You know, and you know, realizing I've been told by other people, and you obviously don't like to talk about yourself, but other people have told me that you've been awarded several medals and awards for action and bravery. You know, in your consideration, I understand that you're a very humble person, but what are two of the most heroic things that you feel that you've done?
Well, first of all, I have not been awarded several medals or citations, but, you know, everything we do is a team. It's a team effort. You know, I've been fortunate enough to work with some very good firemen. You know, when I was brand new, I had an officer that was probably one of the best in the city that taking new guys and implementing what they learned in school and putting it in real time on the streets. You know, I've been lucky enough to be involved in some rescue situations where we've pulled people out of burning buildings, but everything that I've been wrote up on or had an award or a citation, it's not just been my name. It's been everybody that works with me. You know, it's a team effort, so. Now, there is no me in firefighting. It's a team game.
Yeah, it was funny. A very close family member of mine actually always says there's no A in team, but there really is an A in team, because, you know, I'm Ashley. Yeah. But I understand you're saying there's no N in team. So.
No, there is not one.
Well, I mean, I guess that's what you have to be like. I mean, it's not a one-person effort. It's, you know, it's just like an effective basketball team or effective baseball team or anything. One person can't be showboating and being the center of attention when it takes – how many people are on a firefighter – like, you know, at a separate station? How many people actually?
Well, you know, four guys ride the fire engine, four guys ride the fire truck. You got usually two on the chief's car and two on the rescue, which is the ambulance. The guys, it's kind of like football, offense and defense, as I put it. The engine is the offense. You know, they get all the glory putting the fire out. Excuse me. The defense is the truck company that, you know, does all the hard work and doesn't get quite the glory. But it is one of the greatest examples of teamwork. It's, you know, we train hard for it, and then when it's game time, there's no timeouts, there's no redos, there's no instant replays. You either take care of your business or something goes bad.
Most definitely. Okay, you've seen the films, obviously, Backdraft, and I guess there's a bunch of other shows. I mean, is that any replication of what, I mean, like I told you, you know, life is a lot more interesting than fiction, but is that any replication to what y'all do?
Yeah, you know, when they're razzing each other in the firehouse and stuff, that's pretty close. I loved the movie until I actually fought a fire, and then I was kind of upset with it because I thought I was going to be able to walk through there and see everything and you know, make an easy day of it, but it's actually the opposite. You know, it's like going in a pizza oven with smoke, and, you know, you can't see nothing, and you're just feeling and tripping and a lot more clumsier than you usually are.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, but the movie was good.
I didn't even think you couldn't see. I guess they had to make it obviously that way
for
the viewers.
Yeah. Nobody paid to see a movie of just smoke.
Just black smoke. He's like, you know, trying to figure it out, trying to see. So y'all have to use those things like the air tanks and all that stuff.
Yeah, we got self-contained breathing apparatus and a face piece that that we strap on, and we got a Nomex hood. And, you know, we got protective gear. We got coats, bunker pants, helmet, gloves, you know, all that stuff. We also now, when I first started, you just had to realize, you just had to bank on feel, touch, crawling around, find it. Now we got thermal imaging. You know, the fire service, and especially in Dallas, is always got the latest, greatest technology. You know, we're a big department, and they always find a way to get us stuff we need.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you can actually see.
Yeah, the thermal imager helps us quite a bit.
That's cool. You know. Well, you have to have something, because otherwise it's just basically, like you said, I mean, you're kind of filling around in the dark, in a smoky, darky room, which is darky is a new word. And yeah, I just don't even know how you'd even begin. And it's kind of scary because you do see these fires that get out of control, and you don't even know how people could even get out of it, you know?
A lot of luck, you know. Obviously, pre-fire planning is a big role. People with smoke detectors are way ahead of the curve. If you don't have them, you need to get them. You know, you can look and find some fire safety stuff. Have your fire escape plan. You know, that helps. That helps in every aspect. But at the bottom line, if your house is on fire and you're trapped inside, you know, the good thing is firemen show up and they're trained to do their thing.
So you've actually taken this career and this passion a step further, and it's really interesting because you were telling me, you know, one of the most interesting things that you're doing right now is working with the Sons of the Flag mission and foundation. And can you explain to our listeners what the Sons of the Flag is?
Yes, ma'am. Sons of the Flag Burn Foundation is a 501c3. We're raising money to advance and accelerate the development and the research of cutting-edge technology for burn survivors.
And so is that for firemen and past firemen as well as military officials and civilians, or who?
We're actually the first burn foundation that is going to combine military and civilian burn treatment together. We take care of the fire and police, which is going to be the first responders, and then the military and civilians, yes.
And so I was reading up on y'all's foundation, and it was very interesting because your commitment is to try to support the help and the scientific research behind figuring out, you know, how to, I guess, recover or help people with burn, with traumatic burns. So where is our technology and our medical technology or advancement right now with dealing with people that have significant burns?
Well, our team went down to BAMC, Brooks Army Medical Center, and met with a head surgeon down there, and after spending some time with him and doing some research, it seems to be about 30 years behind the curve.
30 years.
So burn treatment has not advanced hardly any in the last 30 years, is what has been explained to me.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I guess money. FDA is holding up some of the stuff. You know, everything goes through trials and procedures to get FDA approval, and it takes money to make things work to get it moving faster.
Well, that's hard to deal with when it's somebody that suffered from burns, especially from somebody that, it could be anything. I mean, you could be in the military, you could be in the war, you could have been fighting for our freedom, as well as it could be something, somebody was in a fire.
Well, absolutely. We got the stats on it, and about 1 million civilians get burned every year, 12,000 firefighters, and about 1,000 military personnel. And that's roughly about 2,500 a day. Now, I don't have the stats if that's first, second, or third on each one of them, but I think everyone's been burned, and we all know what it feels like.
That's rough, and it's 2,500 people. That's a lot of people per day, and no matter what, I mean, something needs to be done, and I do agree that this is obviously a well-thought-out foundation and much needed. So stick around. Nathan, stick around, because we're actually going to continue this conversation here in a little while. Cynthia Smoot's going to join us to talk about what's out and about, what to do in Dallas, and what to do especially this Halloween coming up week. And I know a lot of people are interested in wearing their costumes, and for that matter, maybe even dressing up their dogs, and especially their children. We got trick-or-treating and all that coming on as well, which is going to be very neat to talk about. And, you know, when we come back after that and discuss with Nathan more about what the Sons of the Flag is, how you can get involved, and what's really happening with that. So stick around, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. And keep the dial at 570 AM. Keep it at KLIF.com or on iHeartRadio. Glad that you're tuning in tonight.
Are you making a career transition or starting a new business? Have you been feeling dissatisfied, reevaluating life choices, or simply looking for personal and professional breakthroughs? Maybe it's time you look into getting yourself a session with renowned certified life coach Ashley Burgess. Life coaching deals with all areas of a person's life because issues in any one area can affect all others. Life coaching is a process which helps to solve daily problems, increasing the understanding of life's natural philosophy. As a licensed and board certified master life coach, Ashley Burgess empowers individuals in a supportive and non-judgmental way. Ashley understands that life coaching is a special relationship between herself and her client, and your anonymity will always be held in the highest regard. Life coaching is a practice with the stated aim of helping clients determine and achieve personal goals. Ashley Burgess helps people to recognize their goals and to both recognize and overcome the obstacles that are keeping them from getting there. For more information, visit ashleyburgess.org. That's A-S-H-L-E-Y-B-E-R-G-E-S.org.